This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So back in medieval times, and it's interesting, this weekend, I don't know if you're into those sorts of things, but they're having a Renaissance festival up in Milton. And actually, my oldest daughter is going with some of her friends, and she's going to dress like a page boy, and one of her friends is going to be a squire. But as we think about medieval times and this understanding of a king, there was a story about a court jester. A court jester had one time taken his joke too far. He had taken his joking and his joking around too far, and he had insulted the king. And the king was furious, and he ordered that the jester be executed immediately. But the court, those who were sitting in the court, they were agitated, and they begged the king, "Please be merciful. Please be merciful," they pleaded. And the king, of course, his pride had been damaged with the jester's joke. He was not ready to back down. But he did decide that he would let the jester choose his method of dying. Oh, how kind. And turning to the jester, the king says, "How do you choose to die?" And the jester replied, "If it's all the same to you, my lord, I would like to die of old age." We do have wonderful imagery here today, and you may not have caught it, so we're going to go through it again as we go through this sermon. We have wonderful imagery today in the readings about kingship. So if someone were to ask you the questions, and feel free to answer out loud if you want, what do you think of when you think of a king? A crown? Y'all, did you know that Queen Elizabeth's crown was 2.5 pounds? Did you know that King Charles' crown was 5 pounds? I know, that's a lot to sit on your head. What else do you think about when you think of a king? A throne? Robes? A castle? A scepter, right? And the little orb thing? I still don't know what that does, but there's an orb. What else? Burger King? And I don't know if they still do, but remember they used to give you the little cardboard king crowns? When you would eat at Burger King? Yeah, me too. Hamilton, me too. But there are all these images of the king, right? And they're royal images. Now, today we don't necessarily think of kings as warriors, right? But in medieval times, right, kings often led wars. And even more so in the day of Jesus Christ, that was how a king was envisioned. And so we have this first reading is from Daniel. Now, Daniel is in the Old Testament, and Daniel is this wonderful book. It has lots of imagery, apocalyptic sort of talk, and it's a vision that Daniel has, right? So one of Daniel's spiritual gifts was that he could prophesy, he could see things, and he would have visions. And in this vision, he's saying, we read, "I watched, and thrones were set in place." So we have that imagery, right, of the king's throne. "And an ancient one took his throne." Now, when I think of this idea of the ancient one, right, it sort of reminds me of, what is it, Dumbledore from Harry Potter, or Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Maybe that's not this audience, but it's sort of these older, wise-looking men, right, with white hair, and we read it right here, white hair, you know, sort of just this demeanor of patience and calm and wisdom, leading a nation. And so he has this vision of the ancient one, and so we would understand this to be God, right? Now, God is not like a big white king with a crown that sits on a throne, but this is imagery, right? This is metaphor. So there's the ancient one has taken his throne, and he describes him, you know, he's white, and there's fire all around him, right? He has power. The fire represents power. And then he says there were served by thousands. And it's funny because the numbers are, well, there were hundreds, there were thousands of thousands, and then there were 10 times 10,000. But the goal is here, there were a lot of people, right? There were a lot of people that were worshiping this ancient one. And the court, right, the court sat in judgment. So imagine, you know, if we think about our concept of courts today, imagine like a, you know, court of judges sitting behind a big panel. They're sitting in judgment, right, with the thousands in front of them. And it said, and the books were opened. Now back then, the idea of the books were opened. The books were opened is this idea, there was this idea that there was books, again, imagery, right, of all the misdeeds of humanity. Probably lots of books. And it's funny because it comes today, it kind of reminds you of Santa Claus's naughty and nice list. So they had the books. And the court was standing there in judgment with the books were opened. And then they saw one like a human being. Now we would understand that. Now this is Daniel. This is Old Testament. This is before Jesus. But he saw one like human being. We would understand that to be Jesus. One like human being coming from the clouds of heaven. And he came up to the Ancient One and was presented before him. And just like when we coronate a new king or queen in the church in England and other countries that have monarchies, to him, this human one, was given dominion. So imagine this king handing over the scepter, handing over the crown, handing over the orb. And to him was given dominion. We understand that as Jesus Christ, and glory and kingship, that all peoples, all nations, all languages would serve him. And his dominion would be everlasting and will never pass away. And his kingship would be one that would never be destroyed. Now it's interesting because that was a vision that Daniel had long before Jesus Christ, who we as Christians understand to be the Messiah. And this is what Jesus tells us in the gospel reading, and we'll get there in a minute. But then we also have this reading from Revelation. Now Revelation is at the end of the Bible, of the Holy Scriptures, as we understand it in book form. And it too, like Daniel, has a lot of apocalyptic imagery. It has wonderful metaphor. And in Revelation, we hear the same thing. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. Right? All the tribes will come under his leadership and recognize their wrongdoing and submit to this new king. So it is to be. So Revelation, again, being in some ways a prophecy. I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. I am the one who is, I am the one who was, and I am the one who is to come. Now, when we think about this idea of Jesus, as we celebrate Christ the King, this idea of Jesus and Christ, so Jesus being the person we know, the person that we follow, Christ being that element, that divinity of Jesus. And it's important to understand that that divinity of Jesus that lifts him up as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But between the readings from Daniel and the reading in Revelation, and if we were to go on, you'll find very much similarities between these two stories, if you're ever curious. Because Revelation borrowed many of the stories from Daniel. But there's a pattern that keeps happening. And you all may recognize this pattern in our world and as we understand history. Human beings can become beasts. Now in Daniel, there are imagery of beasts, and in Revelation, if you're familiar at all, there's all these kind of crazy beasts. But the idea is that human beings become beasts when they glorify their own power. Human beings become beasts when they glorify their own power, when they redefine what is right and what is wrong. When they don't acknowledge God as the true king and God's kingdom as a true kingdom. That's the pattern, again and again. Human beings want to lift up our own power. We want to redefine what is right and what is wrong. And in that process, we don't acknowledge the true king, that is God. We don't acknowledge that there is another kingdom that we are seeking. That is the true kingdom. That is not one of this world. But the promise that we have is that God will one day confront this beast. Now, we may be part of the beast, but one day we are promised again and again from Daniel in the Old Testament to Revelation at the end of the New Testament, again and again we are promised that one day God will confront this beast, these people, the way of humanity that wants to glorify its own power. And then God will rescue the people, and God will rescue the world by being a new king. And that new king is Jesus Christ. That's how we understand it as Christians. Now, the Jewish people had been waiting a long time to receive this king, the Messiah. And when Jesus came along, he wasn't at all what they thought a king would be. They were thinking of King David. King David, who did live in a big, mighty castle. King David, who did lead battles and wars and conquered other nations. David, who did have a crown and a scepter. I don't know about the orb. But David, who did all of these things. And that was their vision of the king that was going to come and save them. And they lived for generations with this message of hope. One day they would be free. And then we encounter Jesus with Pilate. Now, where we encounter Jesus today, he has already been to the courts. The Jewish people, the leaders, have already decided that he's nothing but trouble. They have sent him to be questioned by the Romans, to be judged by the court. His own friends have abandoned him. His family is scared. There is no crown. There is no scepter. There is no robes. There are no tens and tens of thousands praising him. Rather, there's a crowd condemning him. This does not sound at all like the king we would expect. And of course, Pilate has his own worries. He's worried about problems in the Roman Empire. That's it. He wants to know if this Jesus, this man that they are saying is claiming to be a king, is going to cause him trouble. Is it going to get him in trouble with his leaders? Is he going to start a war against the Roman occupation? These are his concerns. Is he going to mess with my power, this king? And so Pilate takes him back into, we could say, his office, but he pulls him away from the crowds, right? He's asked the crowd, tell me what you think. They're all like, crucify him. He's nothing but trouble. We don't believe he's the king. He's saying all these things that aren't true. So Pilate takes Jesus back, let's say, behind the curtain, and he has his own little court. He holds court right there with Jesus again. And he asks him. Now, when you think about when you go to court, right, who asks the questions? Does the person on the witness stand ask the questions? Does the defendant ask the questions? No, it's the prosecutors and the judges, right, that ask the questions. And so Pilate is serving as judge here, and he summons Jesus in, and he asks him, are you the king of the Jews? Now again, remembering in this scenario, Jesus is the defendant. And what does he do? He questions Pilate. He turns the tables again and lords his authority in the name of God. And says, do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Now, it seems interesting that Pilate doesn't say, well, hold on a minute, I'm doing the questions here. You just listen and answer. He doesn't do that because I think he's taken aback. He's confused. Your own people have handed you over to us. What did you do? And Jesus tells him, my kingdom is not from this world. Their understanding of a king and a kingdom is of this world. My kingdom is not. And if my kingdom were from this world, they would be fighting and fighting for me, not against me. They don't get it. But as it is, my kingdom is not here, he says. And Pilate asks him, so you are a king. Again, Pilate's worried about his own, you know, keeping things chill. Like, are you going to rise up and try to get everybody to fight against us? So you are a king. Again, worried about his own authority, right? His own power. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. And for this I was born. For this I came into the world. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth will listen to me. There's more to the story that we'll hear as we approach Easter in the spring. But he says, everyone who belongs to the truth will listen to my voice. They will not listen to the beast who glorify their own power. They will listen to my voice. They will not want to redefine right and wrong because they will listen to my voice and they will follow my way. They will acknowledge God as the true king and God's kingdom as the true kingdom. And everything on earth will only matter so much. This kingdom will never pass away. Now, friends, it seems a long time to wait. And that is what the Jewish people were frustrated. They had been waiting. And here we are, in many ways, still waiting. But the gospel, the truth that Jesus talks about, and just like our opening story, the gospel is that God is in the business of choices. God is in the business of choices. And in this moment, in this conversation, Jesus has given Pilate a choice. You say that I am a king, but those who belong to the truth will listen. God is in the business of choices. Power will not be imposed. Instead, it is an invitation. We are invited to receive God as our king. We are invited to see Jesus as Christ the King. We are invited to live in the reality that God's kingdom is not of this world, though we live in this world, but that our ultimate goal is something more. But we are given the choice to make that decision. So I want us to think about this week as we go through the week and we prepare for Thanksgiving and we prepare for the season of Advent, of Christmas. What if we were the ones sitting behind the curtain there with Jesus? What if we had the opportunity to lord the authority over the one who was condemned? What if we were the ones that approached Jesus and said, are you the king of the Jews? And then Jesus answered, do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Are you ready for Jesus's questions? Are you ready for the questions that Jesus will present to us to change your life? Because God is in the business of choices. And God is in the business of invitations. Amen.